Good morning, Tri-Cities, and welcome to the program this day after Thanksgiving. I'm Mark Ferguson. I'm sitting in for Matthew Hill on this Friday, November the 23rd, and we've got a very, very special program in store for you today that I trust is going to be very informative for you. This is Conspiracy Friday, and there's never been a conspiracy in the 20th century that was more discussed than in the 21st century is still discussed with great interest. And that's the assassination of John F. Kennedy that took place 44 years ago yesterday in Dallas, Texas. And there's not anybody that's probably from about age 50 on up that cannot tell you exactly where they were and what they were doing the moment that they heard that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. There's been so much discussion through the years and, of course, all kinds of government information with the Warren Commission and things such as that, but I've been very interested in the JFK assassination since about third grade, which goes all the way back to about 1976, and I've been doing research off and on throughout those years, and a couple of years ago or so came upon a website, jfkmurdersolved.com, and just an unbelievable amount of information, and the man that we have as our guest today has compiled loads of information and has put a book together titled Files on JFK, and Files refers to the man who claims to be the confessed assassin of JFK from the Grassy Knoll, and that's James Files, and our guest today with us from the Netherlands is Wim Dankbar. Wim, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Mark. Pleased to be with you.
Well, we're glad that you're able to be with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you interested in the JFK assassination since you're not an American citizen.
Okay. Well, I would describe myself as a businessman, an entrepreneur. I'm 46 years old. My background was in computers. I had my own company, which I sold in 1998. And I've been interested in the Kennedy assassination since 1988. It started with a British documentary airing on Dutch television, where I saw a film fragment of Jack Ruby, Oswald's killer, saying to the press that powerful people were behind this murder, and that they would do anything to not let the truth come to the surface. So he clearly hinted that he had been forced to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, and I had never seen that footage before. And I found that remarkable to see one of the main players confirm on camera that there was much more to it. The fragment, by the way, is now on my website under the caption Jack Ruby. But I was rather fascinated by that, because until then, I had always assumed that America was the ultimate example of freedom and democracy. And like many others, I would never have thought that a coup d'etat could actually occur in that country. But that was exactly what Ruby was hinting at. So then you start to read books and look in depth into the case. And over the years, that went with waves of intensity. But after selling my company, the internet really took off, and I stumbled onto a website that really intensified my interest. That was, the story of James Files. And one thing led to another, and now I have written a book, and I'm producing films on it. So basically, you could say the hobby got out of hand, and, I've become a self-educated publicist about the assassination.
Let's lay the groundwork for our discussion today. Let's talk a little bit about the Warren Commission and then the House Select Committee on Assassinations.
Okay. Well, when you start to study the evidence of the Warren Commission, you quickly find that the official conclusion is a total fraud. The lies are actually insulting your intelligence. You fall from one astonishment into the next. And very few people would actually read all those 26 volumes of the Warren Report, and that's exactly what they had in mind. That's what Alan Dulles said. He was the former CIA director who served on the Warren Commission. and he was fired by Kennedy for the Bay of Pigs. But then he is appointed by Johnson on the Warren Commission. I mean, how can you have a man who hated Kennedy that much investigate his murder, honestly? So that whole commission that was full of Kennedy enemies. Anyway, those who closely look at the evidence would quickly find that the Warren report is just baloney. But in those days, the words of these honorable men were everything. The views of the government were hardly questioned.
Now,
and then, later on, when the pressure came onto the government because all this information of the CIA plots in conjunction with the mafia to kill Fidel Castro, that pressured the government to reinvestigate the Kennedy assassination, and that led to the formation of the House Select Committee on Assassinations. And they concluded that Kennedy was probably killed as the result of a conspiracy. So those people that are referring to the Warren Commission still actually ignore the latest official government investigation conclusion, which was that he was killed by a conspiracy. But the strange thing is they never did do anything with that finding.
Well, that's very, very true, and I think a very valid point that many people try to overlook. But how can you do it? It's out there. Now, there's some...
It's like they say, okay, it was a conspiracy, now America, go back to sleep, you know?
Now, with the Warren Commission, there were some very familiar names that will try to refresh people's memories. One person who was on the Warren Commission was a congressman from Michigan at the time who eventually became the president in 1974 after Richard Nixon resigned. That was Gerald Ford. And then the special counsel to the Warren Commission, one of the younger members of the lawyer group at that time, is current Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, who developed the magic bullet theory.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would call him almost a con artist. And the creator of the single bullet theory, and indeed he's now a senator for Pennsylvania. And Ford also served on the Warren Commission. He was a member. And both of them have been proven to fabricate and alter evidence. And they also have written books about Lee Oswald and the Warren Commission in an attempt to emphasize the lie about Lee Harvey Oswald again. Ford wrote Portrait of an Assassin and Specter, Passion for Truth. I mean, it's just disgusting. Passion for Lies would be more appropriate, I think. But of course, they were both awarded for a job well done.
When you mentioned Lee Harvey Oswald, the Warren Commission, with their findings, established that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone assassin. They tried to paint him as really a lunatic that had renounced his American citizenship. He had gone to Russia. He was a little bit off mentally. They went through a long list of things. But what has your research uncovered about Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, I have learned that he was exactly the total opposite of what history paints him to be. He was definitely a CIA spy. That's why he was sent to Russia, to give the Russians information on how to detect the U-2s, the spy planes on the radar, in order to shoot it down. Because the right wing in America and the hawks in the Pentagon, they didn't want the peace talks between Khrushchev and Eisenhower. They wanted the Cold War. And the peace talks were indeed canceled when the U-2 was shut down. You could say it's just another operation where Lee Harvey Oswald was used by the military-industrial complex. So actually, Lee Harvey Oswald was a patriot who has been used and thrown away like trash. He actually loved Kennedy and wanted to save his life. I know that from his ex-girlfriend, who I befriended. And I know exactly what kind of man he really was now. They duped him by telling him to infiltrate a plot to kill Kennedy. Or at least, I'm a little speculating about this now, but that is the most logical scenario. And Judith, his ex-girlfriend, more or less confirms that. So he was to infiltrate this plot in order to prevent the assassination, to inform about it. Very clever, actually, because if you think about it, it's the only way to get your Patsy cooperating and have him at the right place at the right time. And Lee, he thought he could sabotage the hit right till the end. And that's when he fully realized he had been duped. So the truth is, he was actually a real hero. And the media propaganda machine keeps cranking out the lies until this very day. And that should already tell you that the government is in some way involved, especially in view of the fact that over 80% of the American population doesn't believe it anymore. So, most of these people know better, and that's what really annoys me. If you repeat a lie over and over again, then the public may eventually swallow it, especially if it's told by people of authority. So that's basically what I learned about Lee Harvey Oswald.
Of course, it's documented proof that he also, by doing some of the undercover work, he was involved with CIA and FBI projects from time to time, and with his association in the Civil Air Patrol. We're going to get into that in just a moment. We've got to take a quick break, then we're going to come back and talk more about the Kennedy assassination with our guest, Vim Dankbar. And we'll be back to talk more about the Kennedy assassination here on Good Morning Tri-Cities. You stay with us. We'll be right back right after these messages.
And freedom, our defense.
It's real.
Our troops will come home when Iraq is capable of defending herself.
It's all things to all people. It's Power Talk 870 WPWT. And it's on.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
It's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Now Staples is the store with the largest selection of original Dell ink and toner, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, and monitors. See it, touch it, take it with you. Staples, that was easy.
Hi, Mother Nature here. In between making beautiful sunsets, I've been consulting with the nice people who made Sucrets Complete on an all-new formula, Sucrets Herbal. On my recommendation, they've added soothing green tea, plus flavors like pomegranate and honey with ginseng to the sore throat and cough relief Sucrets is famous for. Sadly, my beehive packaging idea didn't work out. So for sore throat or cough relief, it's all in the tin, Sucrets.
Thanksgiving. What wonderful thoughts come to mind as we remember days that are past, taking time to reflect on God's goodness to us. Thanksgiving should be a daily activity, giving thanks to God for all that He provides. Why not pause right now and give thanks to Almighty God for all that He has given you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Appalachian Educational Communication Corporation and its Christian Educational Outreach, WHCB 91.5 FM, encourage you to give thanks to God today. Hey, Johnson City, we've got you covered. Get your free vinyl phone book covers at any of these fine businesses. Precision Pools, RG&S Construction Incorporated, Precision Home and Office Improvement, Cooper's Small Engine and Custom Sawing, Outdoor Motorsports, Lonnie's Electric, Appliance Service Center Incorporated, and Riverhands Therapy. Thanks for listening to Power Talk 870.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, host of The Dave Ramsey Show, where life happens every day.
It is going to be tough, Kerry, but you know what? Living like you're living ain't no fun.
Yeah, it's about to let my marriage apart.
You got those credit cards handy?
Yes, I do.
Why don't we cut them up right now?
You got that much time?
How many are there?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11,
it all happens
13,
right
14,
here
15,
on The Dave Ramsey
17,
Show.
18.
Yeah, I got time. The Dave Ramsey Show, weekdays live at 2, here on Power Talk 870.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back in to Good Morning Tri-Cities on this Friday after Thanksgiving. Drive carefully out there as you're out and about this morning. Our temperature at 38 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. And our guest today is Wim Dankbar from the Netherlands. And he has done a tremendous amount of research on the JFK assassination. And we're here to discuss that today. And we've been covering some of the foundational groundwork to sort of set the stage for all the information he has in his book, Files on JFK, and he's got a number of DVDs and other information available. Now, something that a lot of you will remember, Oliver Stone made the movie JFK back in 1991 with Kevin Costner and a number of other famous Hollywood actors. And this deals with the events in New Orleans that surrounded the Kennedy assassination. You had Jim Garrison, who was the district attorney there, who is the only government official to ever bring a trial on the JFK assassination. And there are a number of key people here, Vim, that we want to talk about. Let's begin by talking about Guy Bannister.
Well, he was a corruptible FBI agent originally from Chicago, and he moved to New Orleans, where he worked with the CIA on anti-Castro projects, and he was also very cozy with Sam Giancana and Carlos Marcello, and they were the organized crime bosses of Chicago and New Orleans. Giancana in Chicago and Carlos Marcello was the boss of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Another key figure in New Orleans, and we'll probably be mentioning him later as well, is David Ferry.
Yeah, David Ferry. Well, he worked with Guy Bannister. Like Bannister, he was on the payroll of the CIA, and he was also the private pilot for Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss. And together with Lee Oswald and his girlfriend, Judith Baker, Ferry was heavily involved in an ultra-secret project to kill Fidel Castro by way of cancer, injectable cancer. And that project was led by Dr. Elton Ochsner, and he was a famous cancer surgeon in New Orleans.
And I'm sure a lot of people will remember that name, Dr. Ochsner, world famous for his cancer research. And there,
I had never heard of him until I met Judith.
Well, in this country, he was pretty well known, especially there at Tulane University. The man that Jim Garrison brought to trial, Clay Shaw.
Clay Shaw. Well, you should also say that one of his star witnesses was also David Ferry. But, you know, he died, and he had to go on with Clay Shaw, who was eventually acquitted. But Clay Shaw, he was a businessman and a high-level CIA asset, and friend of Mr. Ochsner as well. And he also worked on this cancer project, and he knew Oswald and David Ferry. And like Ferry, he was homosexual, and they were good friends.
Now, you've mentioned her name a couple of times, and that's Judith Barry Baker. You've got a DVD of her testimony. This young lady was an absolutely brilliant young person. I've been totally amazed at some of the information that she has and her connection with Lee Harvey Oswald. Share with the audience a little bit about Judith.
Yeah, maybe I should first give a little bit more introduction about this Dr. Ochsner.
Sure.
He was not only a famous cancer specialist, but he was also heavily sponsored by the CIA, and he was very right-wing, and he had friends in high places, like the Texan oil billionaires of Texas, Clint Murchison and H.L. Hunt, but also Richard Nixon, and even the Latin American dictators, like Somoza and Perón. He was their personal doctor. And he had founded an anti-communist organization called INCA, the Information Council of the Americas. And you should know that INCA owned the radio stations that interviewed Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans. You know, the interviews where he declares himself a Marxist and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they also sent the cameras to film Lee handing out his Pro Castro pamphlets. But that was all a cover for him. Lee was actually anti-Castro, but he posed as pro-Castro. And that's also what made him such a perfect patsy for the Kennedy assassination. That's why they selected and groomed him for that. Now, to go on to Judith Baker, Judith Very Baker is your complete name. She fell in love with Lee and the other way around while working with him on this cancer project. She was a very promising young cancer researcher from Florida, and she was recruited for the project by Dr. Ochsner. And she has stayed silent for 40 years over this in order not to be killed like the other ones. But her information is extremely detailed and revealing, and she also sheds another light on the death of Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby died in jail from cancer, but he claimed that they had injected the cancer into him while being treated for a cold. And everyone believed he was crazy because you cannot be injected by cancer. That's the common wisdom, right? You contract cancer, it comes from within. But Ruby knew about this cancer project. He also knew Judith and Lee, and he wasn't crazy. That's the way they killed him. That's why he claimed that.
Well, Judith, just to sort of give people an idea, in her own words, had the highest IQ of any person in the state of Florida at age 19. I found that quite amazing, and she basically had to give up the greatest part of her life because she was involved in this.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much proof that she was actually a promising cancer researcher because, you know, I've seen all the newspaper articles and her diplomas on that work. And, you know, all of a sudden, this career is broken off. And that's, of course, the reason was the Kennedy assassination. She was told to stay low and keep her mouth shut.
Well, she has, I guess, done about, a two-hour DVD with you, telling her story, basically.
It's 3 hours, actually.
Longer.
There's also 1 hour with Ed Haslam, who is a researcher from New Orleans, who wrote a book called Mary Ferry and the Monkey Virus.
Right. And that's Dr. Mary Sherman that he's referring to there, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
He explains how she was murdered. I mean, the version that the media painted of that is totally wrong. She was actually murdered on the day that the Warren Commission began their investigation of the New Orleans chapter. But, you know, that's maybe a story now too detailed to get into.
Right. But all this information is available at the website jfkmurdersolved.com, and we want to encourage you to give that a look and see all the information and research that VIM has done to make this possible. Well, we've got another break coming up, then we're going to come back and talk more about the JFK assassination here on Good Morning Tri-Cities. You stay with us. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hey, what's your sign? Is it hot in here, or is it just you? I seem to have lost my phone number. Could I have yours?
Looking for a new pickup line? Try this one.
Excuse me, but I couldn't help wondering, what station do you listen to?
Works every time. Power Talk 870.
Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Bankruptcy has rocked Wendy's world. When can she expect to be able to buy a home? My advice next.
Federal student loan rates are incredibly low, so it's a great time to consolidate with College Loan Corporation. With one call to 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you can cut your monthly payments up to 50%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Wendy needs a plan going forward.
Last year, we filed bankruptcy.
How's your marriage doing, darling?
Our marriage is excellent.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Our main question is, since the bankruptcy will be on our credit for 7 years, mm-hmm. We're going to be 60. We are renting right now. We didn't know whether we should start saving up for a down payment on a house.
What I would do if I woke up in your shoes is I think it's time for you guys to draw a line in the sand and say we're never going to borrow money again for anything.
Yeah.
And you got to get your emergency fund built of 3 to 6 months of expenses. And then you start saving your down payment. 3 years after your discharge from the Chapter 7, you start to be bankable on a conventional loan without them taking your head off on interest rates. If you try to do a house deal sooner than 3 years, they're going to rip you to shreds on interest rate with one of these predatory subprime lenders.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Are you looking to buy or sell a home? Contact Aaron Taylor at State of Franklin Real Estate. With Aaron's experience in finance and real estate, he can find the perfect home for you that'll fit your budget and fit your needs. Maybe your home's been on the market for a long time, or it's time to switch realtors. Call Aaron today at 423-914-1200. That's 914-1200. Or visit him online at aarontaylor.org. Aaron Taylor and State of Franklin Real Estate, finding your home here in the Tri-Cities.
Very smart.
What is?
You put the kids' Christmas gifts in Walgreens bags.
What?
So in case they go snooping for their gifts, they won't think to look in these bags.
They're in the Walgreens bags because that's where I got the gifts.
Really?
But you're right. They won't think to look in them.
If only everyone knew Walgreens is a great place to get gifts, offering a wide selection of toys and electronics at thousands of locations.
Friday only. Don't miss the great savings at Walgreens 7-hour sale.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Honey, want to go gift shopping with me this weekend? I'm going to a store you might like.
Pungent Candles R Us, moisturizers and more, Robe World brands.
Actually, I'm looking for good gifts, so I'm going to a big event at Home Depot.
I love you.
Get great gifts throughout the store, like a stainless steel four-burner gas grill for only $179 this weekend at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only through November 25th while supplies last. See store for details.
Welcome back in to Good Morning Tri-Cities. I'm Mark Ferguson sitting in for Matthew Hill on this Friday, November the 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving here in America. And I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving day yesterday. It was also the 44th anniversary of the assassination of our 35th President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. And this being our conspiracy Friday program, we are honored to have with us all the way from the Netherlands, Wim Dankbar, who has done a monumental amount of research. He has his website, jfkmurdersolved.com, and he is here to discuss his book, Files on JFK. And Wim, let's pick up where we left off before the break. We were talking about the situation there in New Orleans and Oliver Stone's film, JFK, that dealt heavily with the goings on there. And there is very much a connection between what we've talked about with the mob in Chicago, with what goes on in Dallas, with what goes on in New Orleans. And we've mentioned Judith Barry Baker. I think most everybody's familiar with Jim Garrison and the fact that he was the district attorney there that brought the case. And then you have mentioned his name, Carlos Marcello, the mafia boss in New Orleans. Tell us a little bit about him.
I would like to tell you a little bit more about Garrison.
Sure.
As we all know, he's played by Kevin Costner in the movie JFK. And it was somewhere in the 1960s, I think 1967, that he was the first to bring on a trial where he charged Clay Shaw and David Ferry with the conspiracy to kill JFK. But David Ferry, he died shortly before he was to testify. His death was ruled a suicide, but I know it was murder. And with Ferry gone, Clay Shaw was eventually acquitted for lack of evidence. But what most people don't know is that the jury was convinced there had been a conspiracy, but they were not convinced by the evidence to tie Clay Shaw into it. And in hindsight, that's logical, because Clay Shaw and David Ferry were more involved in that cancer project. And that's where they knew Lee Harvey Oswald from. And it's even possible that they did not assist in setting Lee up as the patsy, because Judith tells us that they really liked Lee. They were friends. But the cancer project needed to be protected, maybe even more than the Kennedy assassination. So that's why they could not talk. And, well, James Files has a rather interesting story to tell about David Ferry. If you like, I can let your listeners hear that, what he has to say.
Sure.
It's about 2 minutes you will hear him talking.
Okay. That sounds good.
Here it comes.
Okay, tell us about David Ferry. David Ferry. I won't get into his personal lifestyle. David Ferry, I did not like David Ferry. I'd only seen him on one or two occasions. Me, I'm going to say he looked like a creep, more or less. He was stocky, but heavy set. He had real heavy eyebrows. And, I didn't like the guy because he was homosexual, okay?
Just checking if your listeners can hear that.
Yes.
Is that clear? Okay.
Very clear.
Go on.
Child molester, as far as I'm concerned. I knew a lot of things about what he was doing. I didn't approve of it. But I'd like to say one thing about David Ferry. He was a solid agent for the CIA. He was on their payroll. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, I do. He died of cerebral brain hemorrhage. But the cerebral brain hemorrhage that David Ferry had, that was brought on. And I explained to Corner, and I had this checked out. He went and talked to him. I don't know who all they talked to, anything else. But I also know that when Warden Godinez was the warden here at Stateville Prison, it was on a Sunday morning, they made a call up here. They wanted to come up and talk to me, some people. I'm not sure who it was that wanted to come talk to me. They said they had a Learjet on standby. And my reply was, save me fuel. I got nothing to say to you. But the tissue here and the brain itself was just above the palate of the mouth. The hemorrhage was inflicted.
I see.
No, sir. Nail file. Nail file gives you the simulation of tear. You could use a stiletto, thin blade knife, ice pick, but then you'd see what it is. You'd get a clean cut. With a fingernail file, you've got a smooth edge, you've got a perforated edge, and when it goes through the tissue, it's like a tear. It's like something ripping apart.
Do you know who did that?
Yes, I do.
Was it you?
Was it me? Of course not. Not me. I wouldn't do that. I'm not admitting to a murder on there. JFK's bad enough, but nobody wants to prosecute me for JFK.
I'm fine. Oh, okay.
Who killed David Ferry, I'm not saying.
But you know who it was.
I know who it was, yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting, and we're going to get more into James Files, because he really, to me, is the key player in all this. But he made it very clear that David Ferry was on the CIA payroll.
Yeah. But he's not admitting to it.
No.
That he did it.
No, very clearly.
but he knows all the details.
He knows a lot of details.
How can that be?
Yeah.
Well, that's why Garrison said, how could I find the truth? My witnesses kept dying on me.
Yeah, exactly, and that was played out in the movie as well. In all your research, the CIA is a very key part of the JFK assassination, from what you've been able to uncover, the Cuba situation, the Bay of Pigs. And that's something I'm sure people that were alive back then can remember, and some of the things that took place. But one man that I continue to find very, very intriguing is David Atlee Phillips.
You were asking about Carlos Marcello, weren't you, first? We forgot him.
Yeah, well, we forgot him. Let's go back and get the New Orleans Mafia boss.
I think I touched on him already. He was the crime boss of New Orleans, and he really hated the Kennedys more than anyone else. But he also worked with the CIA. And, of course, he, too, had friends in high places like, the Texan oil tycoons again, and especially also Lyndon Johnson. I found out that they even had a backman between them, Morris Jeffy, real estate broker. He was an associate of both Johnson and Marcello, and he was the bagman between the two. He delivered bags full of cash from Marcello to Johnson.
Interesting. And,
you know, that has been confirmed by credible sources.
Well, we'll get to Lyndon Baines Johnson in just a moment. But the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, they have admitted a number of things. I've got a newspaper article from the USA Today just this past summer on, where's the date? June the 27th, 2007, where they admit their plan to try to kill Castro. They admit trying to or participating in the overthrow of Allende in Chile, and the fact that Johnny Rosselli was their liaison between the mob and themselves, and they used Sam Giancana. We're going to get to all those names here in just a minute.
Well, they had to admit that. I mean, there's no way of denying with all those documents that came floating up.
True, but it's very unusual to actually get it on the front page of a national newspaper these days, and found it quite amazing that they would actually put something like that on the front page. You would expect if they put it in there, they'd hide it back somewhere in the classifieds or something. But
why would you say that? You have free media, don't you?
But it was very interesting to see the names and the things that you've researched, and all of us that have been interested in the JFK assassination for a long time. These names are very prominent, and that brings me back to David Atlee Phillips, who was evidently quite an interesting man.
Yeah, David Atlee Phillips, one of the most important names. He was the spider in the web, one of the masterminds of the plot on the CIA side. And at the time, he was based in Mexico City, but he was in charge of Cuban operations there. And he had also helped plan the Bay of Pigs, which was a total failure, by the way. And he used the name Morris Bishop. And one of the Cuban exile leaders, Antonio Vishana, I just had an interview by the way, with him beginning of this month. Very interesting. But he saw him in Dallas with Lee Harvey Oswald. Because he was, as we also learn from James Files now, he was the CIA controller of Lee Harvey Oswald. And in fact, Lee told his girlfriend, Judy Baker, 2 days before the murder in a telephone call, that if he would not survive this, she should never forget the name David Atlee Phillips. And I think that's because in the end he felt that they were setting him up. He was really not sure, but, you know, he started to suspect something because the FBI and the Dallas police ignored his warnings that JFK was going to be assassinated if he came to Dallas. So Judith pleaded with him to get out, to report sick or something, so that he wouldn't have to appear for work in the school book depository, so he wouldn't be involved. But you know what he said? According to her, he said, "No, I will stay, because when I stay, it will be one less bullet aimed at Kennedy." So that is the true legacy of Lee Harvey Oswald. And it shows the injustice that they did to this man. And earlier this month, like I said, I was in Miami and had an interview with Antonio Vishana. And if you see that interview, he leaves no doubt for the first time that Morris Bishop was indeed David Atlee Phillips. He has always denied that for the record, and he still does. But if you see that interview, you will see that for the first time he leaves no doubt. He has a clever way of making it clear without confirming it.
Well, David Atlee Phillips, there were those in the House Select Committee on Assassinations that felt that he had perjured himself.
They were right, yeah.
And so they were going to call him back, but it never did come to pass. But this guy was also very gifted with writing, and I think he maybe Files mentions the fact that David Atlee Phillips told him he could do more damage with a pen than anybody could with a gun.
Right. According to Files, he said, "I can kill more people with my typewriter than you running around with your shotgun."
Just very, very interesting character. And on the internet, really, there's not a lot of detailed information about Phillips, but there's enough out there that sort of ties him in to a lot of the things in Cuba, as you've mentioned, and other things that took place. Of course, it was a different time period in this country, the Cold War, the dangers of communism, the threat of communism, and it really played into how people thought and a lot of the things that were allowed to go on. And it's just amazing how this all revolves around what happened yesterday, 44 years ago. Well, when we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more about some of your research and talk about some more people that are involved, including some names that people are going to be, I think, interested to hear about: George H.W. Bush, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, Frank Sturgis, and others. So stay with us. We'll be back with more of Good Morning Tri-Cities right after this break.
It revealed.
It's global. Through expanded trade, the roots of democracy and freedom are deepened.
It's real.
Our troops will come home when Iraq is capable of defending herself.
It's all things to all people. It's Power Talk 870 WPWT, and it's on.
If you're looking for a great job with a great company, Advance Call Center on Boone's Creek Road is hiring new employees. Hiring several shifts plus full benefits. A great chance to advance with 90% of promotions coming from within, part-time as well as full-time. Fill out an application Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Look for the ACT sign at Advanced Call Center Technologies on Boone's Creek Road, Johnson City. Advanced Call Center Technologies, 283-5023.
Hey, Johnson City, we've got you covered. Get your free vinyl phone book covers at any of these fine businesses: Arnett Plumbing, Lady Equipment, Tri-City Water Purification, Buchanan Satellite, The Travel Company, Common Ground Landscaping and Mowing, Subcontractors Unlimited, and Prada's Painting and Flooring. Thanksgiving. What wonderful thoughts come to mind as we remember days that are past, taking time to reflect on God's goodness to us. Thanksgiving should be a daily activity, giving thanks to God for all that He provides. Why not pause right now and give thanks to Almighty God for all that He has given you through His Son, Jesus Christ? Appalachian Educational Communication Corporation and its Christian Educational Outreach, WHCB 91.5 FM, encourage you to give thanks to God today.
Welcome back in to Good Morning Tri-Cities. We're at about 11 minutes before 9 o'clock, and we are with our special guest, Wim Dankbar, from over in the Netherlands, who has done a tremendous amount of research on the JFK assassination. He has his website, jfkmurdersolved.com, and we're going to continue discussing a lot of the information that he has found in his research. He has a book, Files, on JFK, talking about James Files, who we'll talk about in detail in hour number two this morning. There's just so much information, and we're going to run through some more names. And Vim, we've talked about David Attlee Phillips, George H.W. Bush, the father of our current president here in the United States. Everybody remembers that he was appointed by Gerald Ford, rather, as the CIA director in 1976. Has he had any prior association to that time?
Yeah. Well, now we get into a really explosive area. George Herbert Walker Bush, you cannot believe anything he says about the Kennedy assassination, which, by the way, is that the Warren Commission was right and the conspiracy theorists are just kooks and idiots. In fact, he just said that at the funeral of General Gerald Ford. And he denies that he was with the CIA before he became director of the CIA. But the truth is that Bush was high-level CIA during the Kennedy assassination. There is even a document from J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, 5 days after the Kennedy assassination, where Hoover mentions him as Mr. George Bush of the Central Intelligence Agency. And that document was actually declassified in the late 70s. So if Bush says that his directorship for the CIA in 1976 was his first job for the agency, and you are dumb enough to believe that, this document proves definitely that he's lying. And the document, by the way, it speaks about the reaction to the assassination of the Cuban exiles in Miami. So why would Bush be interested in that? Well, I tell you why. Because he and Alan Dulles, the CIA director under Eisenhower, and Richard Nixon, vice president under Eisenhower, they had been the architects for the Bay of Pigs, the invasion of Cuba. So they were really a tight bunch. It's even said that Bush actively recruited mercenaries for the Bay of Pigs. Whatever the case, the Bush family has always been very friendly with the Cuban exiles. Jeb Bush is the governor of Florida now, and George W., he still promotes the removal of Castro today. And about Nixon, you should know that he was actually made by the Bush family, because it was Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current president, who launched Nixon into Congress at the end of the 40s. And then he persuaded Eisenhower to run for president and to take Nixon as his vice president. But this was very much like the Reagan-Bush administration. Eisenhower, he was the face to the public. He made the jokes and the speeches. But when he was playing golf all the time, the real business was done by Nixon. So the Bush family planned to continue that administration with Nixon as the next president. And together with Gerald Ford, they were campaigning for Nixon. Nixon was their man. But Kennedy got in the way of that plan. And to make matters worse for Kennedy, they blamed the failure of the Bay of Pigs on him. So you see, it's all connected. That's also why Nixon referred to the Kennedy assassination as the Bay of Pigs thing on the Watergate tapes. Am I still making myself clear on this?
I think so.
Okay.
You've got George H.W. Bush. You've got Richard Nixon, very closely connected.
Let me tell you a little bit more about Nixon, because he lost to Kennedy by only a very small margin, 100,000 votes or something. And that was because the Kennedys, they had made a deal with organized crime, with Sam Giancana of Chicago. That basically, if organized crime would help John to the White House, they would get a free ride. And that is why Kennedy won Illinois and Virginia. And without those, Kennedy would never have been president. So instead of leaving the mafia alone, like they promised, the Kennedys betray them and start a war on organized crime like never before. As you know, Bobby was made attorney general, and his prime targets were people like Jimmy Hoffa and Sam Giancana and Carlos Marcello. All the big crime bosses. And Kennedy, actually, I think he made the thinking error that he had real power as president and that he could wipe out his enemies once and for all. But he just underestimated them. So the fact of the matter is simply that his assassination was a coup d'etat. And what always happens in a coup d'etat, the ones who did that, they take over the government. And more importantly, they write the history of what happened. And that's, of course, their version of history. And it conflicts very much with my version.
And you have dug out lots of information. And as we've talked off the air, a lot of files and things have been declassified over the last few years. So more and more things are getting out there. More and more people are coming forward with information. Let's quickly, before we have to take our break at the top of the hour, what about Lyndon Johnson? I've always found him to be a very rough character.
Oh, yeah. He was not a nice guy, you know. Yeah, and he hated the Kennedys also. And he would be dropped from the ticket in the next election. He would not be vice president. That was an inside rumor already. Nixon even said that. There was a newspaper article on it. But he was also heavily compromised by organized crime, and he was the subject of a few major scandals that would most likely have sent him to jail. So he could easily be counted on to go along with the conspiracy. In fact, he and his good friend, J. Edgar Hoover, who hated the Kennedys even more, they would take over the cover-up with the... Or they would, yeah, they would take care of the cover-up with the Warren Commission. And Hoover, he could not stand that little Bobby, because Bobby was suddenly his boss, and Hoover was not used to someone telling him what to do. And now you have Bobby telling him to go after organized crime. Well, Hoover, he had big friends in organized crime, and he had always denied the existence of organized crime because the mob had compromising pictures of him in homosexual activities. So Hoover was, he was head by the mob. And also JFK would send him with retirement at the mandatory age of 65, which only took a year from then.
Well, when we're out of time for this hour, we're going to come back with hour number two of Good Morning Tri-City. So you stay right with us right here on Power Talk Radio WPWT.